Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us this evening. I have a very special guest today from Germany. Chris Kamisch is with us, and we'll be talking to him in a few minutes. This is actually a pre-recorded show because we couldn't quite work out the timing for Chris to be on at our regular time, and I did want you to be able to hear what's going on and what he does. But first, the metaphysical musing for this evening. I had a two-hour drive to my friend's house today with the GPS on, and I knew how I wanted to go, and I knew where I was going, but I didn't want to go the way the GPS was telling me. So I'm going down this main road, and at almost every exit, the GPS is saying, turn here and do this. I go, no, I'm not going to do that. Or it'd say, turn here and do this. I'm like, well, you should have told me sooner. I might have done that. And that went on for about half an hour, kind of amusing. And I got to the turnoff that I wanted to go, where the route that I wanted to take. And there was a police cruiser there with flares out and everything else. And this main road had all the ramps blocked off in both directions. Obviously, something had happened on the road and they weren't letting anybody on it. So I had to go past it. Now I have no idea what I'm doing. And the GPS is telling me something. I've got my friend on the cell phone giving me other directions. All kinds of crazy things going on. And I got here. But it's sort of exactly the way life is. You know, when you're, before you're born, the way I see things, the way I understand things, free will starts long before you're born. Everything is choice. Everything is choice. And that means that we choose the major life lessons and the people that we're going to meet along the way that are important to us because we've known them before. And the kinds of things that we're going to do because we have these specific lessons that we need to learn, places to go, things to do. And of course, as soon as we're born, we have to forget all of that because the game wouldn't work if you remembered. Although the Indigo children seem to remember. And here you are. And you have some place to go, but you don't know where that is. You just have these things tugging on you. So you head in a particular direction, and your internal GPS says, turn here. And maybe you turn there, and maybe you go a little further. And the GPS says, oh, rerouting, recalculating route. And then it says, well, turn here. And of course, you go the other way because you want to get coffee or there's something else you wanted to do. But over and over again, your internal GPS keeps kind of drawing you in a direction. And maybe you take a side road and you have a little adventure and then you head back this way and the GPS draws you in. And eventually, you wind up in the place that you had pre-programmed, but it was a very, very circuitous route. And that's always been my sense about life. If we knew where we were going and we looked at it from where we were starting, we would probably be so freaked out that we would never go there. We would just not believe that that's who we are going to be and what we're going to be able to do in our lives. But the GPS keeps nudging you in that direction. Life, the universe, however you want to look at it, keeps nudging you in the direction that you've decided to go, giving you the experiences that you need along the way. So that when you finally get to that place where you're coming over the ridge and looking down at this amazing valley where you're going to be, you know, with the gorgeous sunset and the whole, you've got the image, you can look at it and go, yeah, that's where I always wanted to be. Even though 5, 10, 20 years before, if you had looked at it, you would have, this is great, but I would never be able to handle that. So that's my metaphysical musing for tonight. Life is a whole lot like GPS. And as you know, I always ask my guests about their lives. So we'll see how things have gone for Chris and all the crazy twists and turns in his life, because we all have them. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now, Chris, are you with us?
Yes, I am. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
My pleasure, and thanks for working out a way for us to talk. This is Chris Kamisch, and you live in Germany, where?
Near Würzburg, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of in the central part of Germany between Nuremberg and Frankfurt.
Uh-huh. Well, you know Americans are terrible with European geography, so I have a vague idea where that is in Germany. So at some point in telling your story, I'm sure you'll tell us how you wound up in Germany. But you're doing some fascinating work, and maybe the easiest way for us to tell the whole story is for you to tell us how this all started and how we can see how you got where you are now.
Yes, gosh, it's been an experience. I'd like to start, you know, first of all, bring me back all the way to high school. And in, you know, I'm in my 30s now. So back in 92 or so, I was in high school. It was about 93, 94 or so. And I was in a church youth group. And I kept thinking to myself, I'm listening to all, you know, all the songs, the music, you know, we're doing Bible studies, this and that. I kept thinking to myself, you know, what is it behind everything? What is it, you know, what is my purpose? You know, everyone's all excited about all this stuff that we were going through. And I wasn't really that excited. I kept looking up at the stars and I'm wondering, you know, how do I piece all this together? And I kept thinking that to myself over and over again. And I never really understood, you know, what my purpose was, why I was here, and this and that. And then I graduated from high school, which I graduated from Amherst High School, which you're in Amherst right now. And
so Amherst Regional High School in Amherst, Massachusetts?
Yes. Yes.
That's hysterical. I live a mile from Amherst High School.
So, yeah. So then after that, I went to UMass Amherst.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated from there. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So even after getting my degree, I still didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know what my purpose was in life. So I joined the Army. And I was in the Army for about 6 years. I was an officer, and I went through quite a bit of experiences in the Army, moving back and forth here and there, deploying to various regions, and I moved on into about 2003 or so, and I was still in the Army, and I went and I deployed and came back, and I thought to myself, you know, I still don't know what I'm doing. What am I doing? Is this all agreeing with me? I know I'm here to serve, but I don't know really what I'm doing and why I'm here. And it was a basic chain reaction of experiences. In 2006 or so, it actually all began my awakening process. But between 2003 and 2006, there were a lot of, I wouldn't say near-death experiences, but I never actually passed over anything, but I got very close to many times ending up in bad situations. I used to be on the Autobahn, and I'd be driving I used to have a sports car. I had a Mustang GT back then, and I'd be going, you know, top speed on the Autobahn, and I would hit all these, I would, you know, be going really fast and stuff, and in Germany, I don't know how it is in the States. It's been a while since I've been in the States. But in Germany, the trucks are allowed to go in the left lane. But at the same time, the cars are allowed to go as fast as they want in the left lane. And what happens is the trucks, the right-of-way in Germany is the larger vehicle has the right-of-way. So if a truck pulls out in the left lane, then if you're going at top speed, you're kind of out of luck. You better slam on the brakes and make sure that, you know, you have your distance. And I basically came into many near accidents, one where, you know, one of those situations where I was going, gosh, who knows, over 130 miles an hour. It was very, very fast and very dangerous. And one of these trucks pulled out, and I slammed on the brakes, and I got very, very close to that truck. And thankfully, I was able to stop on time. But if I didn't, that would have been it. And another time I was driving, and I was going very fast, and I hit a lot of the Autobahns are pretty much straight, but there are some corners, some curves that are often unannounced, and they're very quickly, especially when you come towards the mountain areas. And I didn't know a curve was coming, and I went over a hill, and I came into the mountainous areas, and then suddenly that very sharp, I wouldn't say 90 degree, but it was very sharp, a very sharp curve. And because I was going at a high rate of speed, my car started to rock, and I almost went off the road at that point. And I thought to myself, after all these experiences, there must be a reason, there must be something out there protecting me and this and that. And I kept remembering back to my time in high school when I was in Bible study, thinking about, you know, angels and this and that. And I kept thinking to myself, maybe this stuff is real. Maybe that's why everyone was excited. There's something behind it. So I started pondering at that point. And, you know, the year after that, one time I was driving, and there was I was driving through a forested area, but it was in about December or January time. And it wasn't really snowy, but there was black ice, and I did a 360-degree spin around in my car, and I almost went off the road. But I did my spin off just so, well, I spun around just so that I ended up actually still on the road. And I thought to myself, wow, I just spun around multiple times. I could have spun right off the road, but something was there saving me. There must be a purpose. And that brought me to, I came back to the States. That was my time in my first tour in Germany. Then I came back to the States in 2004, and I decided, you know, the Army is not really for me. There's some greater purpose out there. So then I ended up between 2004 and 2006, I ended up trying to figure out how to get out of the Army, and eventually I did get out of the Army in 2006. But the summer of 2006, basically what happened was my wife of all people, I didn't understand. I didn't know anything about Reiki, for example. And she knew something. She learned something when she was young, when she was in her college years or whatever. She learned something about it, and she started reading books about it. And she introduced me to Reiki by saying, "Chris, you're going to get a Reiki massage." And I said, "What is this? What in the world is this?" So I went and I got I went to a place in near Tacoma, Washington. I was at Fort Lewis at the time, and I got a Reiki massage there, and I felt energy flowing through me, and I thought to myself, wow, there's something out there that I don't know about, and this energy, this stuff is great, and it's tied into, I believe it's tied into that angel that was there saving me all those times. So then I continued on learning about Reiki and this and that, but I got out of the Army, and my wife wanted to go back to Germany, so I went back to Germany, and I went with her, and we arrived here, and there were some people that I could learn from, but I wasn't really into the whole Reiki class thing. I don't know, I've always been kind of a, I don't know, my whole life, I like to study things and analyze, and But I was never part of really a group. I was kind of like a loner most of the time. But I did like this Reiki, this energy. I knew there was something greater out there, the same with the angel. There's something protecting me. There was a purpose in my life. And as I took the Reiki massage, I started to realize that maybe this is part of my purpose, went back in 2006. So then I was here in Germany, and that's where I started my process of learning more about Reiki. But it wasn't in a group setting. Being an American here, I also didn't, and I could speak German, but I didn't really feel comfortable learning Reiki in German. I don't know. It just wasn't, I'd rather learn it on my own. I'd rather study it with my own mind rather than hear an instruction in German or whatever. So I couldn't figure out what to do, but I knew I really wanted to learn it. So then I went on Amazon, and or maybe it was Google or something. I typed in Reiki level 1 attunement, and the first thing that came up was a link on Amazon to a video, and this video was by someone named Steve Murray. I don't know if you've heard of him.
No.
But, Steve Murray does a lot of videos on Reiki, and basically it was the Reiki 1 attunement on video.
Mm.
So I watched this video. I ordered this. It came to Germany. I put this in a DVD player, and I watched it. And I suddenly felt all these energies flowing through me, and I thought to myself, wow, what is this thing? What is going on? This is amazing. And then I got the level 2, and I watched the video, and wow, that was powerful. And then I kept watching it over and over again, 1, 2. Eventually I got the courage, I got the master Reiki video, and I watched that, and I watched them over and over and over again. I kept feeling the energies flow and flow and flow to me, stronger and stronger. And as I was watching these videos, I would see things in the video. And I thought to myself, what is this stuff I'm seeing? And then I started seeing faces and shapes, and I didn't know what it all was. And I started to research all this stuff. That was actually my mind's eye or third eye opening up. And I was starting to actually glimpse into the spiritual world through the attunement, through the energies. The energy was kind of like that medium that brought me over to the spirit world. And so that's how I started my path, just kind of studying things from afar and learning about the distant attunements. And I did read books on how to do, how to do Reiki in person, heal others, all the hand positions and this and that. But I tried to, I gave healings to my family members and this and that. And my family wasn't, my wife kind of, she introduced me to this stuff, but she wasn't really into it at the level that I was into it. I felt some kind of deep spiritual longing for it. And this started to, I felt like this was part of my purpose in life. And I was starting to awaken. And so I decided I'm going to learn more. So I watched almost every video Steve Murray did. And then I started to realize that, I started to think, how does he do this? How can I watch a movie, and how can the energy be received by me? I think he's in Las Vegas or something. Mm-hmm. And I was in Germany at the time. How could that happen? How does that work? There's something amazing going on here. So then I started to, I was surfing around on the internet, and I started to find some teachers. And my first teacher was Kathy McConnell. I don't know if she teaches anymore. She was in Canada. She used to have a website called ReikiTheHealingPath.com, but I believe it it's no longer active. But I learned through her, and I took a lot of, I purchased a lot of her attunements, and she would send me manuals, and I basically received energetic attunements from her distantly. And this is where I learned that you can, I learned the Reiki too, but I never actually had an experience. So this is actually her attuning me in person. And I thought this was wonderful. And I learned all the different I learned Lavender Flame. I learned Shambhala Multidimensional Healing and quite a few other Reiki attunements. And then after that, I basically did as much as I could through her, and then I did some more searching around for other instructors, and we were having a problem with the time zone. She would do the distance healing or the distant attunements in person, and I would be receiving in person, but we would always have to set an appointment time.
Right.
And it was kind of complicated, and I didn't understand. It was just difficult to achieve. And then I thought to myself, Steve Murray had this DVD. There's some kind of step I'm missing here. So then I searched on the web some more, and I came to a website by a guy named Stephen Lovering. He's in the United Kingdom, and he does a lot of attunements. And so I started to take some of his attunements. And, I started reading his manuals and such. And he would provide you words. Words to, if you read this word, suddenly you would feel energy. And I thought to myself, wow. I'm reading the attunement words and I'm feeling energy. This is like watching the movie through Steve Murray. Whatever connection there is, there's something amazing going on where I can receive energy. And I received that energy instantly. And so I took all these attunements through Stephen Lovering, excuse me. And then after that, I started to learn about someone named Ole Gabrielsen.
Yep.
Who has various notes that he provides, and in those notes he will have phrases, embedded phrases, which very, very much like Stephen Lovering, who I believe learned this from Ole, where you read a sentence and then you receive an attunement instantly. And I was amazed. There was something really great there, and I thought I was like in outer space when I first received this stuff. I didn't believe any of this stuff, and then I received it instantly. Then I really, really believed, flashing back to that angel watching over me, there is really a spiritual world out there. It is a reality. You may not be able to see it with your physical eyes or hear it, but, you'll get contact through your mind's eye, or you'll have dreams, or you'll be meditating, you'll get visions. There is something real out there, and I got so excited that somehow I felt I was being guided onto my path.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I started taking all these attunements, and then I started learning something called Lightarian Reiki. I learned the Lightarian rays, and these were, high-powered Reiki attunements and empowerments. And they were some of the strongest stuff I ever felt. That, and Shambhala Multidimensional Healing and Lavender Flame, there's a few out there. But they were really, really powerful.
Chris, hold the thought for a minute, and we'll pick up again after the break. We're going to need to go to a break in just a minute. Is there a website where people can contact you and find out more about your work? Just want to give that out several times.
Yes, I run a social network. It's mm-hmm. called The City of Shambhala. And the website is www.cityofshambhala.net. And
terrific.
If you go to this website, that everything, then it's a social network where you'll connect with me and anyone else that's on the network.
Right. Okay, we're going to need to go to the break for a few minutes. We'll be right back on Empower Radio with more of the Farkas Files with Chris Kamish. Stay tuned.
Before there were computer games and HDTV, cram courses and teaching to the test, there was this thing called imagination. A tool so powerful, it could transport kids on the most amazing journeys of their lives, from outer space to center field at Yankee Stadium. It is for these journeys that Destination Imagination was created, an extraordinary after-school program in creativity and teamwork for every child. At Destination Imagination, teams are formed and challenges are met with a whole lot of imagination. And while we can't guarantee it'll get your kid into Harvard or onto American Idol, we're pretty sure that Destination Imagination will be the most important journey they make this year. Maybe any year. Parents, teachers, start a Destination Imagination team by calling 888-321-1503 or visit destinationimagination.org. That's destinationimagination.org.
People have all kinds of excuses for not saving energy. I didn't plug it in. I'll turn it off later. It's not my music. It's just one phone charger. So, we don't have those Energy Star appliances. So that old window leaks. How much energy and money could the new ones really save? Maybe it's time to stop making excuses and start doing some simple things to save the energy and resources we can.
Because a little here and a little there can add up to a lot later. And you just never know what people will need in the future. My name is
Sarah, and I'm going to get started today.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and the station.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home. I'm home. And I love it. I'm home. I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home. I'm home. Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Chris Kamish speaking to us from Germany. Chris, I just wanted to pick up. You were talking about the other attunements that you had, but Ole Gabrielsson is the person who got the transmission of Kundalini Reiki in meditation, and that's the Reiki that I got attuned to. So I'm very familiar with that. Actually, in the lineage, I'm just one line away from Lovering. There's one other person that I learned it from. So one of the things I love about that whole way of working is that it's all based on intention. And I think that's sort of where your understanding went to, because I know some of the things that you did along the way, learning that a thought and intention can immediately have an effect. So you had learned Kundalini, you had been tuned to Kundalini Reiki and then several others. And then where'd you go? What happened?
Well, I learned that, and I learned Kundalini Reiki from Stephen Lovering and Olay. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I moved into the Lightarian program. Mm-hmm. And I started learning the Lightarian Reiki program and the Lightarian race. And I came upon a website. It was called healingsoftheheart.com. I don't know if it's still here, still up and running. I believe it is. And I ran into someone named Tammy McDowell. And she was offering the Litarian attunements via Qiball. And if anyone doesn't know, a Qiball is basically an energy ball that you fill with attunements, and then you send it to the recipient. The recipient receives this energy ball and says certain words, you know, whatever, listens to certain music, visits a certain web page, whatever the intention is, and they receive the attunement that person created. So I learned about the Qiball method through Tammy, which was going back to Stephen Lovering and Olay. I was wondering the whole time how they did this.
She's packaging the intention in something she calls a Qiball, which is a visualization experience that she has and then makes it available to you. Just so people understand what's going on, she's not sending you a physical object she calls a Qiball.
That's correct. It is physical. It's not physical here. It's, I'd like to say, etheric or something.
Right.
And basically, her method is called an angelic sphere of light, but it is basically a Qiball method. And I was wondering the whole time how Stephen Lovering and Olay and so on deliver these instantaneous attunements. And I don't know, I don't know what their methods are. But I learned this method from Tammy McDowell, and it's called the angelic sphere of light, where you package something in. It's just basically a Qiball. You package it in, an attunement in, and you send it to someone. And so that's how I received my Litarian attunements. And I learned this method. And then at that point, I kind of thought to myself, hey, maybe I can do that. Maybe that's part of my purpose. Maybe it is to, you know, kind of be like them and deliver attunements to people. So I started thinking about it, but I never really got started. And I came to, you know, I started getting on to social networking. Back then, there was MySpace was really popular. And then after that, I got a link from one of my friends that said, hey, join Ning. And I said, I thought to myself, what's Ning? What's Ning.com?
Right.
Then I went on this Ning.com social network, and I just realized there were all these free social networks out there created by individuals, custom tailored, and those were the Ning networks. And I found some that offered attunements. So then I started continuing to receive attunements, trying different things that were offered to me. And then after that, I decided to try it out, test it while I was on the Ning website. Since I had an audience that was interested in receiving attunements, maybe this would be the place to test it to see if I could do it. So I started to offer attunements through Ning, through the events that they have on Ning, and people RSVP'd and they attended, and I would post words to receive. And I would use the angelic sphere of light method that I learned from my instructor, Tammy, and I would deliver the attunements that I learned to others. And, you know, I'd provide a manual, and they would say certain words, and they would receive it. So I set all the intention. I prepared the sphere of light, and I got it all prepared, and then I started getting comments. Wow, thank you. That energy was great. That was amazing, and this and that. And these people were all over the world. I set my intention that the energy would be received by each recipient whenever each recipient asked to receive it, no matter what time zone they were in, what location they were in, or who they were. I just set a basic, very general intention, but it worked, and people started to receive energy. So that was where I started getting into teaching, instructing others on the energy and preparing attunements. And then after that, I started getting better, and then I started moving to Well, then I started, you know, a lot of people started to, I would have in some events, I would start to get, you know, 40 or 50 people that were getting attuned. And I thought to myself, this is great, but this is only reaching the Ning audience. And as we think about, you know, ascension and this and that, where there is a, there's a divine plan out there that we become one with Source. And part of this becoming one with Source is becoming one with energy, which I like to think of myself back to my high school Bible learning days as the Holy Spirit. To me, Reiki is the Holy Spirit, but that's kind of a religious topic, and that's just my own perspective. But whatever it is, the Reiki, whatever's behind it, it's a unifying force, a field of oneness that connects all things, all of life, all of creation. And I started to realize my purpose was to deliver, through the methods I learned, these energies, which would have a direct impact on others, starting to be able to heal themselves, heal others, and also some of the energy also has an impact on shaping the consciousness of people.
So we've had a little interruption here with a telephone problem, but Chris was telling us about what happened next and the other modalities he was learning. So why don't you pick up where you were?
Right. So I was learning, I was delivering modalities to people on Ning. And then at that point, I thought to myself, you know, maybe I can increase delivering to people throughout the whole world and not just on Ning. And at that time, I started to get into some material by a guy named Joshua David Stone. And I was reading all about ascension and reading about mantras and going through all the different mantras he offers and all the different meditations he offers. And I started to get into the initiation steps that he's talking about. And I went through various experiences where, long story short, I basically began merging with my higher self. And I started collecting that great purpose that I was looking for before, and I started to realize that, yes, it is to assist with the ascension of humanity, and through my actions of attuning the world, I'm actually accelerating that ascension process. So then I got started on how do I attune the world, and I started to take what I did in a small group of Ning folks, and I decided to figure out how I would reach the world. So then I thought to myself, I remember Olay and Stephen Lovering and other people having embedded attunements, having attunements that were triggered by certain words. And that's what I did in my Ning site, but I wasn't reaching people. So then I decided to take these attunements and write them into a book. And that brings me to my book, which is called 45 Free Reiki Attunements by Chris Komisch, and it's available on Amazon.com. Just type in Chris Komisch into the search engine, and you'll find it. And when people receive this book, which is on paperback or in Kindle, they open up the book and they start reading through the different attunements, they will start to receive them instantly. And that was basically my way of reaching the world. And then after that, I got into continuing to do social networking. I got into YouTube as a medium of delivering videos with attunements.
We had a little bit of phone problem twice. We lost Chris, and this time we seem to have really lost him. So hopefully I can speak to where he was going with the conversation, because I have seen and experienced the book, and I know Ole Gabrielson, who is the person who channeled the transmission about Kundalini Reiki. And I got to talk to Ole online on a webinar system, and I asked him about this arrangement of setting things up as an as an intention. And basically, everything is thought, and thought affects everything in the physical world. So his process, what he had set up, the way he was doing it at the time, was that he would look at the name of the person and say, basically, I am uploading attunement, whichever it was, for the named person to download at their convenience. So basically, he was creating a download available to them. And the language that the person would use when they were ready for the attunement was, I am now downloading and receiving the attunement for whatever level it was. And I was just fascinated with that. And so I had about 5-10 minutes with him, just the two of us kicking stuff around. And he just over and over again kept saying, it's just intention. Just experiment with it and set it up any way that you want to do it. When you wrap your head around that, I mean, I've been doing shamanic work and it's all intention. You know, basically, when I look at the issues, for example, in a house that's not selling or a house that has paranormal activity is a better example because it's more dramatic for the people living in the house. So they're having strange things go on. And I always work, since I work remotely, I don't tell people when I'm working. I don't want them to have anticipation or a placebo effect, think that it's happening and created themselves. I want to be able to say, I worked on it yesterday afternoon, and then they say, oh, yeah, I felt whatever it is, dizzy or strange, or I felt light come in the house, or there's any number of things that people will say. And we haven't had any of that strange stuff going on. It's been gone. So how does that work? You know, basically, I'm sitting in one place, focusing my attention on something that's going on in another place with the intention of improving that situation. There are a lot of ways that I think about it, say it, visualize it. But the truth is, the words and the methodology are just something that either I learned from someone else or I created myself to package up that intention and basically convince myself that I can do it. You know, if I sat and did this stuff and didn't get positive results on the other end, you know, it would be pretty delusional. But the truth is I get results. So in the same way, the Reiki attunements being done with intention is the same thing. People have an experience of however they experience that energy, and then they realize that their healing work has changed, they're able to do different things, they start having different experiences in meditation. So there is a confirmation for this, but it's a really basic shamanic principle, which is the power of your mind, the power of your thoughts and emotions, the power of your will can be focused to change things in the physical world and to heal people, which is the intention behind Reiki. So in Reiki, which means universal life force, it's a Japanese word that means universal life force, it's basically becoming a channel for this healing energy that is available to anybody. So in the process of doing Reiki, you're getting out of the way and allowing it to flow through you. It's not a process of intention and saying, I'm changing things. It's a process of saying, oh, you know, come through me and be focused on this person and give them the highest possible outcome. But the attunements is very much somebody saying, I'm going to do this. And in my doing this, that there's going to be an outcome for the other person or the situation or whatever is going on. And you know, when I step back and just look at what's going on and what's happening, the power of this is amazing. The power of this is totally incredible. Not just that we can do the healing work for people, but that we can transmit a change in another person's energy field and a set of instructions, a set of information that will change who they are, how they function in the world. So one of the things about that, because this has been done all over the world for thousands of years, this is nothing new. Every indigenous culture has been doing this kind of work for, you know, in some places there are either scrolls or carvings or paintings in temples that go back 6,000, 9,000 years. So this is not new, and it's not one culture. It's all over the world. But I'm fascinated just sitting and looking at it and going, this is what human beings can do. Now, if you do it for positive things, it's extremely powerful and it creates healing. But how much of what is said, how much of the instructions you're given about how the world works are really negative and cause you to shrink back from being a powerful person and do things? You know, if you watch TV, if you listen to politicians, if you listen to commercials and any of the other stuff in media, even situation comedies, reality TV, pretty much everything that's out there now is about people being small, mean, and rude. And this is pretty new. This has only been going on. This was not what was on TV 20, 30 years ago. This is a relatively new thing. And it's a way of telling people who they should be. Just as much as a Reiki attunement is a way of shifting someone's energy. All these things shift people's energy in a negative way, in a way that constrains them. Your thoughts, you know, how do you talk to your spouse? How do you talk to your children? What goes on at your workplace? All of the things that go back and forth have the power of intention, even if you're not paying attention. The intention is always there. Now, if you get conscious about it and you start to focus with intention and decide what you want the outcomes to be, all kinds of things happen which people consider to be miracles. And miracles are just an outcome that doesn't have an easy explanation that exceeds your expectations. So one of the things I always say is have higher expectations. The higher your expectations are, the better the outcomes are going to be. But, you know, I have to really honor what Chris has gone through, because with, you know, from his story, relatively little formal training, relatively little time with other healers, he has come to understand the power of intention. He's come to realize that his purpose is to attune as many people as he possibly can. And he figured out a way to put it into a book so that people can sit down and by reading each chapter, which has the intention embedded in it for the attunement, for a particular kind of Reiki, he is able to provide those attunements to change people's lives in a profound way. And not only the life of the person who's getting the attunement, but the lives of all the people who are going to get healings from those people who have been attuned, and how the shift in the energy of all those people that are attuned is going to affect everybody around them. So it's impressive work, which is the reason that I had Chris on the show. It's pretty amazing to watch how somebody who had no hint that this stuff was going on, through all the various twists and turns of going back to the metaphysical musing of his GPS, drew him into what he needed, got him to not only be attuned, but to understand the power of intention and the way that that could be packaged to assist other people and put together a book. I think it's an incredible piece of work that he's done. And I really, really want to thank him for everything that he's doing. So I wish I had his information in front of me. I believe his website is cityofshambhala.net. And his name is Chris Comish, C-O-M-I-S-H. So you can find him online, and he's doing some wonderful work. If you want to find me online, my website is househealing.com, H-O-U-S-E-H-E-A-L-I-N-G.com. You'll find all my contact information and information about setting up an appointment to talk to me, cleverly hiding on the contact link. And please do get in touch if you have any questions. There's actually also an Ask David link. And if you ask me questions there, I can answer them on the air on the next show on Empower Radio. So for now, this is our interesting show with some random weird things going on for this week. And this is David Franklin Farkas here on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio.
Smiling, happy faces, laughing, enjoying life. Then I turn the TV off, and I'm back to reality. The faces here are not so happy after the spill. I mean, just look around. The fourth-generation shop owner who'd give anything to turn on his dusty open sign. The fisherman with the thousand-mile stare. People of the Gulf region have been through a lot, and we're pretty good at bouncing back, but we can all use some help from time to time. If you're experiencing increased anxiety, worry, or anger, you should know that the assistance you may need to help you cope is here. For confidential counseling, call 800-985-5990, 800-985-5990, or text TALK WITH US to 66746. With help, you won't need a TV to see a smiling face, only a mirror. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. Message and data rates may apply.